Hello, nurturing parents. We are so excited to have you here today for this special episode. We're always excited to have you here. But we are super excited today because it is, drumroll, my birthday. Yes, Mama Serena is turning 29. It is my last year in my 20s. So what better thing to talk about today than me? Yeah, so we are going to talk about me, but I wanted you guys to get to know me a little bit better, kind of where I come from. We know parenting has you reminiscing of your childhood a lot. We'll reminisce a little bit about Serena's childhood. Thank you so much for joining me here today as we kind of celebrate my birthday together, which I think is cool. It's been such a gift having listeners join us from everywhere and join our Instagram, our Facebook, and just even listen. That's been an amazing gift from you guys, and I just wanted to acknowledge you for that and thank you very much, because that's a big accomplishment as I turn 29 too, is this nurturing parent baby and how beautiful it's grown. So thank you so much, and let's dive into my birthday episode.
Hey, Mama, welcome to the Nurturing Parent Podcast. Do you want to end the constant battles for bath time? Do you find yourself emotionally exhausted at the end of the day? Do you wake up with big hopes for a smooth day of fun with your little ones, only to face an early morning meltdown because you peeled their banana the wrong way?
Silly you. Hey, I'm Serena. I am a mama of two little ones, and as a new mama, I constantly question myself. I wanted to make sure I was raising respectful kids while also building a strong bond with them. But I discovered that I had to unlearn my ideas that punishment was the way. With Amalisa's encouragement, I've been practicing a respectful and gentle parenting approach, which is strengthening our bond as a family.
And hi, I'm Amalisa. Amma means grandmother in Icelandic. I am a mama and an amma. And I have over 40 years of experience in child care and parent coaching. And I am so excited to share the knowledge I've gained over these years with you.
Together in this podcast, each week we will explore some easy to implement skills you can add to your parenting tool belt to help you create a happy, thriving family.
And now for something completely different. Happy birthday to you. It's Mama Serena's birthday today. So I thought I would, of course, start with a little song. The day that this podcast drops is your birthday.
Happy birthday to me. 29, my last year in my 20s.
29. It's a magical number. I love it.
Is it? I feel like it's a weird number.
I love the number 29. I always say 29,000 things could go wrong right now, and none of them are. Or 29,000 something, or 29 something. Or yeah, that's my number. It's one of my numbers.
That's interesting. Mine is definitely 23 and 4, and especially 423 together.
Nice. All right. So you had this idea about, because this episode happens to fall on your birthday, about talking about a little bit about your childhood, a little bit about your parents and how you were parented, maybe, and a little bit about how you are shifting and aiming to be a different kind of parent, and this kind of whole world of things, right?
Yeah.
Then you kind of got a little bit like, I don't know if I want to do that. So we thought we would jump on and have a conversation about all of that. And I feel like there's going to be some gems in here for our listeners.
Right.
And so let's just have a conversation.
Yeah. I think also part of it is just sharing a bit of from where I come from, because I know you can relate to some of it, and I'm sure some of our moms can. So just having that next level of intimacy, I guess, with our listeners. And Yeah.
Getting to know you.
Yeah, because I think we both had some trauma, and it's easy to relate to somebody that you feel like you went through the same things growing up. And so we might feel unique in the trauma that we have, but I'm sure it's pretty common too.
Yes, that's why we want to share this conversation. Because what you, Serena, you're 29 today. I'm in my 60s. We have things in common, you and I. And we're like, oh, that happened to you? Oh, this happened to me.
Yeah.
And it's like we're not really, we don't spend a lot of time sharing what we might call our war stories, but we do touch on them sometimes. And we're like, oh, isn't it interesting how we both had these different or similar types of trauma from our childhoods? And here we are being this voice in the world of many such voices, but one or two of the voices in the world supporting parents in learning new ways of parenting, even though we came from family backgrounds where, we could say that maybe we didn't have the nurturing parent guiding us.
Yeah. I love my parents, but I do always say that they taught me exactly what not to do as a parent. So I did learn from them.
Okay, here's a really cool piece of communication that I want to share with you just in this moment, because I hear it all the time. I love my parents, but the but in any sentence pretty much erases what came before it. So if you change that word to and, I want you to say that sentence again. Because I want to hear the difference. I love my parents and.
I love my parents, and I say that they taught me everything I shouldn't do.
Right. So there, the love is there. The love is still
It's
there.
still there.
It's always there. You
Is it?
love your
No, I'm just kidding.
parents.
I'm just kidding.
She's going to be a little cheeky because sometimes your mom listens for sure. And sometimes even your dad listens. So
Yeah.
you might get a little
When
cheeky.
he shouldn't listen, that's when he listens.
So this will be one for sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was just a little piece of a linguistics kind of detail, but
No,
it's a really interesting one.
I like that. One thing I use is I get to. So when I have to give my kids a bath, I like to say I get to give my kids a bath, or I get to fold my laundry. That helps.
Nice. It really helps. And that's
Yeah.
what we're doing here on the Nurturing Parent. A lot of what we're doing is just kind of tweaking the language that we use inside our own brains to ourselves, but also and also to our children and with our children. So, okay, let's get a little vulnerable. Let's just talk a little bit about your childhood and what you learned that you didn't want to do from your upbringing and how you're being a different kind of mama for your children.
Well, it's funny because when we started the podcast, we are the village. And that's something I always knew I needed for my kids, was having a village for them, because it definitely took a village to raise me. My village was filled with a lot of strong, smart, kind, loving women. I grew up calling a lot of women mommy. Yeah.
So where was your biological mom then?
So my mom had me when she was really young. My dad was older, and I don't really know. I just know that my mom was young and kind of doing her own thing. So my dad was kind of taking care of me, but he would leave me at my grandma's, my abuela's. I had this quote unquote godmother, who she's not really my godmother, but she's somehow my family, but she was also a big role model, and I feel like she was a mother to me. Yeah, my mom was around, but I had a bunch of other women looking after me, and And
Your mom wasn't your primary caregiver,
no.
your primary parent, right?
No.
You didn't
No.
live with her full time. Yeah. And that's one of the things that we have in common is that my mom, for a lot of my childhood, wasn't living in the home that I grew up in also. And that was amazing when we discovered that similarity early on.
Yeah. So my dad was pretty amazing. So I want to use this birthday, 29, to kind of reflect back on what my upbringing was like, especially now that I'm a parent and this is my life, parenting. So it's interesting to reflect and see what my parents were kind of going through now that I'm a parent. So my dad, he was in charge basically of raising me, but like I said, it was a bunch of women that were really taking care of me. My dad was in charge of the bills, keeping the house clean, taking me to school. And I remember him walking me to school in elementary, kindergarten, pre-K. We would walk to school because we were within 2 blocks distance. And that was always one of my favorite memories. So growing up, I always said I wanted to be able to take my kids to school and pick them up from school, because that was one thing that I really admired about my dad. I also remember a year that he went on like every school trip, and he was a chaperone on every school trip. That was one of my favorite years.
Wow.
Yeah, my
So
dad,
there's some
honestly, yeah.
positive things from your
Might be
dad's
surprised.
parenting that you have brought forward with you, that
Yeah.
you're hoping or aiming to recreate because they're such special memories, right?
Right. Like it's hard for me to commit to a job if I know that I cannot be able to take my kids to daycare or school. So yeah, my dad he was pretty amazing. And so he was also very disciplinary. And that's why, like, I loved my dad. And I would say, I'm going to do it the way I used to think I was going to do it the way he did it until I had my own kids. And so I always said I would punish my kids, or my dad was very, you're going to do that because I said so. And that's how I felt. Like, you don't speak back to your parents. You just accept it. But my dad also never really explained things to me. I feel like it was hard for me to ask questions or speak up in a situation because, like, who am I to say anything? So those are some things that, like, I definitely didn't want to bring into my parenting, is like shutting you down. I feel like I always had an idea and he always shut me down because I was little. That's something I felt a lot.
Right. So a shutting down, almost like dismissing, a dismiss.
Yeah.
Did you feel dismissed? Yeah. So it's so interesting because you thought that you would be that strict authoritarian parent. You do it this way. You don't talk back to me. Do, 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 do. Until you had your first baby. And something woke up in you. Do you know when that, do you remember when that sort of shifted for you? Like what?
I felt like it was kind of in the natural flow of motherhood and becoming a mom. It was just like I wanted to respect my baby. I wanted my baby to respect me. And we talk about mutual respect, and that can happen from birth.
Yeah. And respecting your baby from your child from birth looks like when they cry, you pick them up and respond to them. Right. And so for me, what it sounds like happened there is that your instinctual mothering clicked in.
Yeah, instinctual, that was the word.
Yeah. So we've talked about that disciplinarian aspect of your dad. And we've talked about your mom not living there. And part of what you and I have talked about in the past is that abandonment, that sense of abandonment, right? So I think that combined with your instinct of mothering, that I really, really believe that if we can get rid of the voices in our heads for even a few moments and feel into our bodies those instincts to do what our babies need us to do for them, bubble up to the surface. And if we listen long enough, we will follow those instincts. And that's, I mean, you could call this instinctual parenting, this podcast, right. Because I think that instinctually we know that we need to nurture our young. As mammals, you know, as in a part of the animal kingdom, we need to keep our young alive because the instinct is to have the species survive, the species of being human. We don't want it. We don't know about it in the front of our brain, but in the instinctual back recesses of our brain, we want to keep our young alive so that they can grow up and procreate so that we keep, that's a species survival instinct. And it's way down at the bottom of the survival brain. And I think that I know that we all have it. And I know that for some of us, it's really clouded over. So I guess speaking to you, listener, we're guessing that you know, your childhood probably wasn't 100% rosy. And here's the news. None of our childhoods were. And none of our children's childhoods will be either.
Yeah.
We don't go out to create trauma for our children. Your parents, Serena, my parents, didn't do things either in their world, where both of our us, we both come from separated parents. They separated when we were young. They didn't go out to cause trauma for us. They were doing the best they could with who they were and with coming from their upbringings and the traumas they experienced. And so a lot of times on this podcast and next week, you will hear an amazing story about a mom who we have a live coaching session with. And she is trying also to break the cycle of a childhood where she was parented in ways she doesn't want to parent her children. So many of us, most of you listening, are here for that reason, right?
And that's another thing about the instinctual mom coming out of us is us growing up without mothers. It's hard to understand how that didn't kick in for our moms. And that was something that was interesting for me to experience, because my mom couldn't be very motherly when she had her kids, or not for long. And so now that I'm a mother and seeing how natural and how overwhelming that feeling is, and then not being able to receive that when I was being raised, is just interesting to see. But I get to see it as well with my little sister, because now my mom is in a different place and I get to see how my little sister is being able to get to experience her mom.
Mm-hmm. I want to pop in here to say that we both also, one of our commonalities, Serena, is that we come from families where addiction was present, addiction and alcoholism, whichever. And that gets in the way of a person's ability to connect with their instinctual way of being a parent, whether yeah. it's your mom or your dad, right? So that got in the way for both of us, for our, for one or both of our parents. That addiction piece. And, you know, our parents were being the best parents they possibly could, given what they knew, given how they'd been raised, given their traumas. So it's not ever about blaming our parents. It's more about acknowledging the trauma that we experience as children, as a child. The trauma I experience as a child is my experience. I get that you were doing the best that you could do. And now that I have an awareness about it, I get to redesign the future of both who I'm going to be, who I'm going to be in relation to my parent or parents also, and who I'm going to be as a parent. And I love that you're pointing to some things that are the positive things from one or both of your parents that you're bringing with you, and the things where you learned, okay, yeah, that's what I'm not going to do.
Yeah. But I think it was Brené Brown. I listened to a podcast from her where she goes around asking, do you believe that people are trying their best? And it's hard when you're upset or you're frustrated with that person to believe that they are doing their best. But if you really dig into their life, and we really don't know much about our parents, I think. I feel like that's one of the most intimate relationships where we don't know enough about each other, really, because there is usually this parent-child relationship where it can't.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not their job when they are our parent and we are the young child. It's not their job to tell us their traumatic background.
Yeah.
It's their job to keep us safe. And so they're doing the best they can. As we age as adults, you might be able to have those conversations with your parents. If it feels toxic and not a good idea, please don't. You know, get your own counseling with somebody and talk through it that way. But for some of us, it is possible to have those conversations about, tell me about your childhood. I'm so curious to know what it was like for you growing up.
When I was able to start asking my dad, and my dad, he would always kind of mention it. He would talk about he would get hit or like tortured when he was younger. So it would be reasonable for him to think it's okay to hit and punish us because he was like tortured.
So what he did to you was nothing on the level of what had been done to him.
Right.
He was being like a really kind and thoughtful parent, probably in comparison, it sounds
like. Yeah,
like.
He was like, I'm not burning your kneecaps. He's like, you're lucky. You have it easy. I'm just hitting you with the belt. And he never really hit me hard with the belt, but he would punish me and he would threaten me.
Yeah. Okay, wait. I just have to take a moment for that little boy. I just really have to take a moment. Because that little boy grew up to be your dad. And that little boy grew up to hit you with a belt. And it wasn't nearly as bad as what had happened to him. So he, in his own way, was breaking the cycle.
Yeah.
To as much a degree as he could. That right there, that's a gem right there for this whole conversation. That's incredible. I did not know that piece, and I just feel so much for that little guy, you know?
Yeah.
It's not a pity. It's not like that. It's just like, wow, what some children survive and come out the other side of. And he loves you. I have no doubt in my mind about that. Every time you talk about him, I know that he loves you. And I know that he did some things that have you want to do parenting differently. But
Yeah.
that's incredible. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, that's incredible. Because I think that right there will give our listeners
A different perspective. Because if we get to know our parents and it, like just you even acknowledging that little boy, like I could think about my dad's kneecaps being burned and think, okay, he probably deserved it.
Oh, ouch, ouch, ouch. No, parents. No,
But
no, no, no.
no,
No
because I
child
say that because
deserves.
he's my dad. But if I were to see a little boy and that happening, I would not be able to see that.
No. No child. No child deserves to be hurt.
And so you just taking that moment and acknowledging that, it does make me feel bad for my dad. Like, and answering that question that Brené Brown went around asking, do you think everybody is doing their best that they can? And he is doing his best. If that's what he thought was bad, and him just giving me a spanking is not that, then he's doing the best he can to control me or do what he thinks parenting looks like based off what he was parented by.
And we have to look at the culture that our parents were parents in. When you were a child, and in the culture that you live, in the society and the culture, okay? So there is a way that is expected for parents to be. So children do not talk back. Children do as they're told because I said so. Like that was the way. And for many parents, it's really, really hard and almost impossible. And some of them won't even think about doing it differently than that because that's how it's supposed to be done.
And
End
it
of story.
worked.
Quote unquote worked. And now we're living in a society and, different cultural segments of our society are going to be different about it. But the society in North America, maybe in the first world, I would say there's certainly in North America, there's more listening to feelings, and it's okay to be upset with your parent. It's not okay to smack or hit or do these things. But it's a whole different way that's accepted to some degree. And from what I see online, especially on social media, there is still, and it shocks me because the brain science and all the science points to we're on the right track with acknowledging our children's feelings and comforting our child and connecting with our child, even when they're being defiant, or even more when they're being defiant. I love that quote that says, your child is not being difficult, they're having a difficult moment. And we need to be there for them. That kind of capsulizes the shift that we've come through in parenting. And it's there are still people who resist this for sure. And some people think that we're doing this all wrong. And from what I can see in the world and from the people who I think of as my mentors and colleagues that I look to for how I'm saying something, how is that colleague of mine saying it? And that kind of thing. And so I really believe that we are on to something here, and it's a cultural shift that's still in process.
And it's going to be interesting to see because I think my generation right now is still the don't talk back to me and punishment, go stand in a corner, go. So the next generation of parents, I'm 29 now, so the next set of parents coming out, it's going to be interesting because I feel like it's starting.
Well, it's really interesting because I wasn't raised like that. So I could be your mom, right? I'm in the other next generation up. In fact, my daughter is 10 years older than you, or 11 years old, no, 10, 10 years older than you. So I'm a generation and a half ahead of you. I was not raised by parents who were strict or punitive or authoritarian. And I didn't get to live with my mom for quite a few of the years of my childhood. And there was alcoholism in my family of origin and all of those things. So there was a lot of, you know, the traumas and the different things. And I never, ever would have thought of go stand in the corner, like the time out kind of thing, or ever, ever, ever hitting my child, because I was definitely not raised with any of that.
Oh, wow.
And I got a book when my daughter was born. And from that book, I started teaching a course. And well, before she was born, I went to early childhood education training in college. And when I was a teenager, I was babysitting. And then when I was an older teenager, I would stay with people's children for weeks at a time. Like I was 15, 16, 17, and I would move in. The parents would go out of the country and I would be the mom for 2, 3, 4, sometimes 6 weeks. I mean, I was a pretty mature teenager. So I've been doing this forever. And I read that book and I started teaching the course when my daughter was a year and a half old. How to talk so kids will listen and listen so kids will talk. We want to do that book in a book club, just dropping that little note in there for when we get to do that with you guys. But what I'm saying is, because I had all the years of experience of being a surrogate, a step-in mom for the, it wasn't just babysitting, it was full-on childcare. And then I had my training in college, and then I started teaching that course, which taught a lot of the communication styles that I share here in the podcast. That's how I raised my daughter. And I didn't do it perfectly. And what I got to see is that I could hear her speaking to her children in nurturing parent ways, what we would call nurturing parent ways, like I had spoken to her. So I'm seeing that shift already.
Yeah. And you live in a special little bubble where things are pretty dandy over there.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because, yes, in a way I do. I live in Western Canada and it's rural, which might make a difference. It's a small community.
I think it helps.
I think it does make a difference for sure. And I am pretty shocked and surprised at how many parents here are still using or resorting to punishment and timeout and aren't listening to our podcast or following these kinds of, you know, I'm because a lot of people here are, you know, they believe breastfeeding is the way they want to go. So they do the breastfeeding journey. They do the family bed journey. They do, you know, they're aiming towards the compassionate, caring, nurturing parenting model. And I'm really surprised, even here in this little bubble, how many parents are still resorting to that other way. And I think that's because it has been the cultural norm for so long. And like you say, Serena, it's taking a few generations to undo that stuff being wired into us, into our brains, right?
Yeah, I think punishment is a very quick, easy way to try to feel like you can gain control. And that's what we think. Yeah. As parents, we need to always have is control when, yeah, like we just were talking about it, but like we have no control of our kids. We need them to feel like they're working as a team with us. And
right. We were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
This whole idea of working as a team together with our children is a pretty new concept. And for some, it's a brand new concept, and it's a hell no kind of a concept, right? And I'm here to say that it actually works.
Oh, it does, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
When my daughter feels like, well, we feel like we're on the same team. Like, I'm even surprised sometimes when she's like, yeah, I'll work with you. I'll do that. Sure.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Anything else? Interesting little conversation.
Yeah, just interesting conversation looking back on parenting and what that looked like for us and as kids and now as parents. And you as a grandma being able to see that in your daughter, I think that's amazing. I get to see it a little bit with my grandchild, the toy babies.
Yes.
When I hear my daughter speaking to her babies.
Yes, I was just going to say that. And if you're a nursing mom, your daughters are going to hold that toy baby up to them like they're nursing them to give them comfort.
Yeah, my youngest, she nurses her babies.
Yeah.
They don't really take bottles.
Yeah, no. Bottle is a foreign concept to your daughters and as it was to mine. And I love that. And so children will imitate, and you will see it. You will see it in their imaginative play when they start to play, how they talk to their dollies, how they speak with each other.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
if they're playing house together too, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah,
Mama wants to sing to you. Mama wants to sing. You know, like they will pick up whatever they're seeing you doing. And that is where we see the changes already starting to happen.
Thanks to the nurturing parent, I think I get to say I'm pretty lucky in experiencing my children's childhood as it is because they're pretty amazing kids, and it's fun to be able to do it and be so aware and in the moment with them and enjoy it. Parents always tell us, enjoy them while they're young. And I like to say, I really am. I really
Nice.
am.
Yeah. And there'll be moments where you're tearing your hair out and growling, and that's part of the ride. But I just want to end off by giving a shout out to your mom, Serena, because this was the day 29. Are you her eldest?
Yeah.
This was the day 29 years ago that she became a mama for the very first time. That only happens once. She became a mama, and she loved you. She had so much love for you, and she still does. I know she loves you, and for all the things she did and for all the things she didn't do. And your dad for all the things he did and all the things he didn't do. And for my mom and dad, they love us. They're doing their best. We can love them back, even if we have to go through phases in our parenting and in as we are young adults into middle adulthood, feeling, you know, not happy with them. It's okay. You can feel all the feelings. And we still get to acknowledge that the love was and is there.
Yes, I'm very thankful for my parents and knowing that they did the best they can with what they had. I think they did a pretty good job.
Well, you sure grew up to be a beautiful human being and
Thank
a
you,
beautiful
Alma.
mama. You're welcome. All right. We love you. And we hope that this little chat that we had give you a little bit more depth into who we are, Mama Serena and me, myself, and that it might just help you feel like all the things you feel about your parents is okay.
Thank you. Happy birthday to me. Okay, so to dive into my gems from my episode, Well, I love that Uma actually had a gem in this episode, and that was that some parents are trying to break the cycle as much as they could. Or she was referring to my dad being the gem, and he's not the horrible man that I make him out to be sometimes in episodes. But yeah, that was a nice gem. Just getting that perspective that some parents that we thought, you know, traumatized us, they were probably just as traumatized or more. So thank you, Uma. My other gem that I loved that was mentioned in this episode was working as a team with your child and how much that actually works. When you do get in the right rhythm with your child and you can both feel that mutual respect and like you are working together and not against each other, because sometimes we just fall in that position. But yeah, working as a team, I think, is just an amazing tool. Sometimes I don't get it right with my daughter. Sometimes I do. Like bringing a snack to pick her up and her favorite snack, like pretzels and cream cheese or pepperoni, she knows because she loves that. So like little things like that get her feeling like we're on the same team. And there's other ways, but that was a gem. And then my last gem is that I really love my parents. At 29, guy had some childhood trauma, like my mom was an addict. My dad did a great job. He was a little rough, but he did a great job. He also chased women around a lot, so I felt a lot of abandonment as a kid. And now that I'm older, I can reflect on it. And with some more perspective, now that I'm a parent myself and seeing my kids and how hard it is sometimes. But I just wanted my gem, I guess, to be that our parents can mess up and we can mess up. We're going to mess up. But I think our kids, hopefully, will, with time, be able to see and understand and accept and acknowledge and kind of forgiveness. So if you did have some trauma in your childhood, I think to become a better person, I feel like it really takes forgiveness. So maybe that's my last gem. But that's where I'll end off this episode. Like I said, it's a true pleasure being here on my birthday with you. It's cool being a part of your life. That really is a big gift for me. That's something I'll really sit with and acknowledge today, is all the people that show up just to listen to me and Uma, which I think is pretty crazy. So again, thank you. Happy birthday to me. Have a beautiful April 23rd. If you're listening on April 23rd. I want to sing with you. I want to dance with you. I want to laugh with you. Oh, how I love to be with you. Aya, 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 aya. Aya, aya, I do. Aya, 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 aya. Aya, aya, I do. Such a short time we've been together. Like a lifetime or two, never knew I could love another.